You ready for your headliner? Yeah. I want y'all to put your hands together for Josh Johnson.
A while back, I got invited to a friend's house, and he had cooked for me and some of his other friends. And when I say cooked, I mean like he went all out. You know, it was about six of us all together, right? But this is like multi-course, 5 hours of preparation, been cooking all day type thing. So by the time we get there, there's a whole spread across the table. There's stuff that he's pulling out of the oven. And we were touched that our friend wanted to do this for us, right? Took his own money, used the skills that he had to make good food, to have a good experience, have a good meal with us, right? And so, you know, we sit down and we sort of like half plated already, you know, when we sit down. And as soon as we get ready to eat, I guess he didn't pay his light bill because as soon as we get ready to leave, the lights go out, right? And we were, when I say we were ready to eat, I'm talking about napkin in and everything, chair all brought up and stuff, and then the lights pop off, right? And then he doesn't mention it at all, right? I'm scooping my chair up and the lights go out and he doesn't even go, ooh, like nothing. He just, y'all, let's eat. And it is pitch, pitch black, okay? And in my head, I'm like, what? How often does this happen that you're not going to say anything at all? Not acknowledge it one bit. And so then, like, I'm sitting in the dark and I'm looking around. I can't see anybody, but I'm looking around. You know the way you try to meet eyes when somebody, when something wild happens and everything. And then after like a couple seconds, he was like, wait, 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 wait. I'm waiting to hear why. Maybe it's a breaker issue. Maybe it's just, you know, the block or something like that. And he's like, wait, wait, wait. Let's say grace. To be fair, when I say grace, I bow my head and close my eyes anyway. But it's different when the darkness is not your choice, right? There's something about saying grace in the dark that's genuinely menacing, okay? Because it's a prayer over your meal, but if it's pitch black and you hear somebody else go, Lord, please bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies. You're like, this one doesn't sound right. I don't like that. And it must happen a lot because not only does he not address it, but he is going with his fork and knife and he's the only one out of us that's got any rhythm going with the plate, okay? Because he chose the right friends to do this in front of because he doesn't mention it, so we don't want to mention it because we don't want to feel rude, you know? We out here treating broke like a country. Like, I wouldn't want to offend his culture, you know what I'm saying? Like, if eating in the dark is part of his customs, let's go ahead and acquiesce. And so we're all in the dark, and I could have sworn I knew how to use a fork and knife. I was positive because I've been doing it my entire life. But it's not until you're in the dark that you realize, at least me, I have no idea where my mouth is because we already had some peas and carrots and some mashed potatoes on the plate, right? But like I said, this is all like Thanksgiving style and everything, all family style. So a lot of the dishes are in other containers on the table. So I'm just trying to start with what I have. So then I go to scoop up some mashed potatoes and then I stab myself in the cheek, right? So and he had done a good job with the mashed potatoes because they were nice and buttery, which meant I couldn't tell if I was bleeding or not because it was just, because I had hit it hard. I got two prongs in the mouth and two prongs on the cheek, but I'm like, that got me good. I need to slow down, right? Because you're not really thinking about how fast your hand is moving when you try to eat. So then I'm like, let me go ahead and attack the peas. But the peas, I can't find my spoon, right? So the peas are gonna have to go with this fork and they are slipping. I'm imagining they're going right off the plate. And so I'm trying to stab for some peas, but everybody can hear me just clinking, just hitting plate, right? And finally, I feel a little thunk. That's a carrot. So then I lift up slowly. I bite a carrot. It's hard because he didn't actually cook everything well, just the mashed potatoes. So now I'm eating bad food in the dark, right? Because every time I do get a bite of something, the food is still hot because he did a good job of plating, right? So there was a little bit of chicken, little chicken thigh that was already on the plate and stuff. So I cut that up a little bit, put the chicken in my mouth. But now I didn't realize how hot it would be because I couldn't see steam, right? So now I have burned my tongue in the moment and I'm doing that. And I'm not the only one, because he is the only one hitting any of this with rhythm. Yeah, I mean, like his fork, you can tell his fork slicing where it's supposed to slice, that he's scooping where he's supposed to scoop and everything. And everybody else, I'm assuming, is just making noise, because there are some, I don't hear any chewing. So I feel like the person next to me was just like. Because the meat was tough, right? And so then, like I said, it was like Thanksgiving family style and stuff. So then our host pops up and is like, I forgot some of the cranberry sauce. Let me go up and get it. And for as adept, okay, he gets up and all we hear is, I'm back. And so I know that I'm making an attempt to eat. I'm doing my best, right? But then apparently someone else is, because from the other side of the table, I can hear someone, because once again, it's family style. I hear somebody, hey, sheepishly, hey, you don't need to whisper. It's just dark. Hey, real quick. Okay. Sorry. Can somebody pass the green beans? And so then the person who thought they had the green beans starts feeling for the container, right? So now we hear them plopping along the table and everything. And then they finally grab it. And then they from over here, who wanted it again? And instead just saying their name, they're like, over here. So then we had to get the green beans across the table, Marco Polo style. And I could feel people passing it past me, but I didn't want to be involved, right? I didn't want to have anything to do with this whatsoever. And so then I can't see anything, but like I can tell that the person to my left is trying to reach for it from the person from my right. And so I'm like, I don't need to help. I just need to lean back. But because they can't see, they lean forward and just grab my face. And then they're like, is this it? I'm like, no, it's not. And so I push their hand forward. They actually grab, I'm assuming, the casserole platter. And then I think they dropped it a little bit, because then I feel a hot splash, right? So I get a hot splash, boom, right on the face. And I'm just like, oh. They get the green beans over to that side of the table. Turns out it was yams, okay? So. And when you go to take what you think is going to be green beans and it's yams, it's a texture you'll never forget, right? No one was ready. And so once I get like hot splash, because it was whatever it was, it burned a little. I was ready to go. And it had been some time. You know what I mean? Like most meals only take, 15, 20 minutes to really eat until you get full anyway. And it had been however long it had been. I don't know. And so I'm ready to go, but I don't want to be the first one. So then I try to, I'm not good at, but I try to throw my voice. A little bit like, well, this has been so great. And And obviously everybody felt the same way, because then as soon as I scoop my chair to get back, everybody else get ready to get up, right? And so we all start getting up and we thank him for cooking and everything, and then we feel our way for the door. And as soon as we open the door, a bunch of hallway light spills in. I'm like, why didn't we just... This was wholly unnecessary. And so I go to leave, and as I'm leaving, I pass a mirror in his lobby, which is the first look I get of my face. I haven't looked like this after I've eaten since I was a baby, all right? Because I got mashed potatoes here. I knew about those, right? But then I got a little bit of like chicken right here, just a couple of strands of chicken. And then this was gravy. So I got splashed with hot gravy coming down my face. That's why I vet people now. Like now when people offer to have me over and cook, I ask some of their friends, I'm like, hey, have you been over there before? Are they a good cook? Do the lights stay on? Things that you just need to know before you go. You know, it's a really, really beautiful thing. Black women are having an incredible summer. This is phenomenal, right? Like, just in the Olympics, Lauren Scruggs is the first black woman to win an individual medal in fencing. And not only do I just love seeing black people succeed, I love seeing black people succeed at stuff I didn't know we did. So if you don't know what fencing is, because I didn't know. It's basically when people cosplay Bridgerton, all right? Okay, so it's a mix of stuff. So like, you know when people go in a padded cell, right? They do that, but they wear the cell, okay? So they go ahead and wrap themselves in like a padded cell and stuff, and then they get that stance, right? They get that long stance, and then they got their little sword. It's thin. It's just, and then they sort of try to musketeers each other until one of them get the most points, right? I still haven't figured out why they always do it. To me, it would just make more sense to have it and be like, ah! Like, that seems like... You really get some points just really coming at somebody, right? And I thought, you know, as I thought about it more and as I learned more about the sport, which I still don't know very much, I thought to myself, man, I probably could have been pretty good at fencing if I had applied myself, because I grew up in the South with black grandma. So I'm used to the sound of because my grandma and I had this thing, right? Like if I was really acting up, if I was bad enough, right? She would tell me, go outside. There's a dead bush, and go ahead and pick your switch. And if you don't know what picking a switch is, if you were born after Child Protective Services, picking your switch was a form, after you've been acting up and go out there and pick your switch, it was a form of psychological torture, because you would get out there and then you trying to pick the switch most likely to break. Because you're like, all right, let me see. I'll let her get three good licks in, but then it'll snap and you know, she'll be like, let bygones be bygones, right? And so you go out there, and I would go out there. I'd be testing them. I'd be like, that one got too much bend to it. Let me guess. You know, and so then you bring your switch back to your grandma, and then she go to pop it a couple times, and just out of reflex, you start, whoo, whoo. It's hot, right? I think if my grandma had whooped me just a few more times, I really could have been a medalist in fencing. Like, I could have been like... And then, Lauren is amazing, but you also have Simone Biles. The most decorated gymnast of all time. She won again today. I thought they were done. And she won with the vault. A lot of people are amazed at how high, how elegantly, just the way that she moves through the air, the strength that she has, the grace in her movements and stuff like that. And some people are surprised at how high she can go and all that stuff. I'm not at all. I'm surprised that she comes back down to earth. Because I saw just a picture of her doing the vault. And when she flew, I was like, y'all, she gone. She going to space. Incredible. Like, Simone will get me so hyped up. I remember the first time I saw her. First time I ever saw her perform at all in one of her events. And I got so hyped, I tried to do a cartwheel. That's what I can't stand with people that are good at stuff. They make it look easy. And then you do it. And then you almost snap your whole spine. Because she did some routine where she was like, boom, boom, boom. And she was just everywhere and nowhere at the same time. She was flying. She was coming down. And then she got done. And I was like, ooh, that's so cool. And then my back hit the wall. I just started sliding down. Even outside of Olympics, you got Kamala Harris. Joe Biden steps aside, Kamala takes up the mantle. She is a presidential candidate and everything. And, you know, when she enters the race, she's actually polling slightly higher than Biden was, right? Really like giving Trump a run for his money to a certain degree. Like, she's polling a little bit higher. And then in the time since, she's been polling, ticking up, ticking up, ticking up and everything. And there's just been so many instances of like, let's say she's on camera or something. This happened a few days ago. She was walking up the stairs already. An improvement, right? She was walking up the stairs to the plane that was waiting for her, and a reporter yelled, right? A reporter was like, oh, come, like trying to answer, you know, get her to answer a question. And she turned, because she heard him. She turned. She turned because she heard him, right? And then he's like, have you picked a VP yet? And she went, no, not yet. And then she keeps walking up. Now, this may not be a big deal to some, but if you are a Democrat, it's a lot more multitasking than we've been used to in a long time. She can walk, she can hear, and she can talk at the same time. That's wild. I'm not saying it's new, but it's been a minute. And just when it felt like her campaign couldn't get any more momentum, Trump went to the National Association of Black Journalists. And I want to say something real quick, and I really want you to hear me when I say this, all right? For real. Please, right? Please hear me when I say this. I think that it's important, no matter who you are, because other countries are better at doing this than we are sometimes. No matter who you are, I think it's important for someone to go where most people oppose them and express their ideas. I think it's important because it's important for us to have discussions that are real. A discussion where the person who believes the thing
said the thing to you, and you're not hearing it secondhand from someone you already agree with. Part of why we are the way we are right now is that people don't really want to listen to someone that they are diametrically opposed to. They want to hear from someone they already like, but someone you already like tends to believe what you believe. So then we're playing telephone with each other's ideas sometimes, right? And so I do think that it was good what he did. He went to a place where he was not going to be lauded over, was not going to be like babied with what he's trying to say. He went to a place where he was opposed. I think it's good what he did. He just shouldn't have done this. Do you see what I mean? You know what I mean? Because he went to the National Association of Black Journalists. And this is my thing. A lot of people didn't really talk about this, but they were opposed within the group if he should come or not. There were some people that were like, we shouldn't platform him. I can't believe y'all are even inviting him. And then there were other people that said, hey, look, this is a presidential candidate. We need to hear out whatever it is he has to say because he could potentially become the president. So you had both those ideas bouncing back off of each other, bumping heads. And then you had me. I was in a very particular camp, which was... let him cook. because, you know, this dude rolls up and pretty early on, I say first 3 minutes, this dude said she was Indian and then one day she just turned black. He said, turned black. And I was like, Donnie, what else you got? That's a little while later, he hit it. He hit it. I didn't know if it would come up again. I've been waiting. He hit it. He was like, the immigrants are coming and they are taking the black jobs. I've been wondering what a black job was since the debate, because he said at the debate and nobody called him on it. Nobody caught it or anything. Black jobs. And then one of the women up there, because it was three women interviewing him. Three black journalists were interviewing him. And one was like, sir, what is a black job? And then he was like, a job anybody could have. You know, I don't know Kamala. I don't know anybody on her campaign or anything, but I know that they had to be watching. They had to be watching that the way that we watch Powerball. Just sitting there like, say turn black again. Say turn black, say turn black one more time. Please, 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 turn black, turn black. I'll be happy with a Negro. Can we get a Negro? Turn black or Negro, please. When I can.